It shouldn't be any surprise that the main theme of Revelation is overcoming. Yet most people miss that, of course, because the doctrines teach them that if you're a Christian, you're already an overcomer. There's nothing to overcome after you've been saved. If you're saved, you are an overcomer. That's it. But the whole book of Revelation is about overcoming. You see, Jesus is the original overcomer, right? He's shown a book with seven seals, but there's no one in heaven or earth worthy to open it. And John weeps over that fact. And then while John's weeping, the angel comes and says, stop weeping. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has overcome, so as to open the book of seven seals. All right, that's Revelation 5:5. And in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus comes to John and gives him a message for each of the seven churches in Asia. And once again, the issue is overcoming. Each church has a specific test or temptation or issue to overcome, right? And Jesus says, if they overcome that thing that pertained to their church, they'll receive a certain reward. So just as the early church had specific issues to overcome, so the last day's church has specific issues to overcome. It's not just a general sin problem they have to overcome. That's everywhere, all the time, throughout all the ages, okay? But in the last days, there's a specific test for the last day's church. And we must overcome that test to partake of the rewards, just like the churches of Asia have overcome their particular test to receive the rewards, okay? The rewards are the same, but the things you have to overcome in order to get them are different. Now, I'm going to read you a couple long passages here because it's very important we understand. One of the reasons I focus so much on the demonic activity is because the issue of the last days are these two beasts in Revelation 13. That is the issue we face. Your test, last days church must face. Let me read this to you quick. It's going to be from Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, then verses 11 through 18. It's about these two beasts, all right? First one, he says, 13, 1 through 8, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And that's us. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, 11 through 18 describes the second beast, which comes up out of the earth. That one came up out of the sea, right? He says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, causes all the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and to live. Now, I'm not going to do a teaching on Revelation 13 or anything like that. I just want to point out a couple of things here about these beasts. The most important issue it's facing Christianity right now, the most important thing it's facing the entire end time church, are these two beasts. The most important issue is not Obama. It's not the fall of the United States. It's these two beasts. This is our particular test. We must overcome these two beasts. These beasts are coming up in our generation. We've got to overcome them in order not to end up in hell. No other generation of believers has ever had to face what we are facing in this hour, because the emergence of these two beasts is a specific, time-related event. Okay, lots of things in Revelation, they can be applied to all ages. They can be applied to different people, different kinds of churches. But when you're talking about these two beasts, in the last 3.5 years of this age, it's a time-related event. It's for us. Okay, they're not unleashed until the end of this age. And because these two beasts and the deception that surrounds them are the most important issues we're going to face in this hour, we need to be asking God for understanding concerning them, so we'll be sure that we're going to overcome them. You see, most Christians, I don't believe we're going to overcome these two beasts because they're not being taught how to recognize them. The only thing people think about when they read these beasts are like world organizations or world governments, like a one world religion, or individual world leaders, the Antichrist, the false prophet, okay, the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economy. And the point I want to bring out here is not that all these things are wrong. They're not. They're going to be a one world government, and there's going to be an individual Antichrist in the end, all kind of stuff. The point I want to bring out here is that there's a spiritual dimension to these beasts and to all that's happening that most people are missing. They're missing it. And that thing is happening now. It's not going to happen in the future. It's now. It's been happening for 25 years or so. My concern is that people don't understand these two beasts are first and foremost invisible persons or spirits, demonic princes. The character and the nature of these demonic princes are going to be manifested in various ways. They can be seen with the eye. They're going to come forth and be manifested in organizations, in governments, eventually the final empire, eventually the final man, okay? But primarily, fundamentally, they are spirits. They are demonic princes. And I brought this out in some of my books already. If anybody's read my books, you probably know this. But just let me give you a short synopsis here quick, just the crux of it. I don't want to go through my books or anything. But the first beast is said to come from two separate places. Okay, First John said he saw this beast rise up out of the sea in Revelation 13:1, which we just read, out of the sea. Later, when the angel is describing the same beast to John, he described its origins. John sees the beast come up out of the sea in a vision. The angel describes the origins of it to John later on in Revelation chapter 17. And when he describes that same beast to John, he said that beast comes out of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Now, the only entity that could possibly come out of both places, the bottomless pit and up to the sea, which is the masses of people, unsaved people, is a demonic prince, a power, okay, a spiritual entity. Governments don't dwell in the bottomless pit. Organizations don't dwell in the bottomless pit. Men don't dwell in the bottomless pit. The only thing you find in the bottomless pit, if you read Revelation, are spiritual creatures. All right? So what comes up out of the bottomless pit, which is called the beast, which eventually becomes an empire, military empire, an economic empire, all right, and all these things, is first and foremost a demonic prince. It's a person. And this spiritual power comes out of that pit, and it uses men to build a global police state, to build a global religion, and a global economy, all of which will form the last global empire of this age, and the object of which will be to force the whole world to worship the dragon. That's the whole purpose of this. Now, I'm sure y'all are keeping up on the world events. Y'all are very familiar that, you know, this the way things are going. It looks like this the final establishment of this global empire is just around the corner. I mean, God's still in control. If he wants to delay it for some reason, for a few more years, he can still delay it. He's on the throne. But if he doesn't delay it, I mean, we're right almost. We're right there. It's almost. I mean, probably 2 years after Obama's in, we'll have the world government fully in place. I don't know, but it's that close. Except God delayed it for some reason. But there is still some question of when it's going to be fully and completely in place. But there is no question regarding the spiritual power that's building that empire. That thing has already come on the scene. It's been on the scene for many, many years in the context we're talking about, building this global empire, the global religion, and all that kind of stuff, okay? The first beast has already ascended out of the bottomless pit. And it says the second beast comes up out of the earth. So I believe the sea represents secular humanity, so the earth probably represents religious humanity. That's why it's called the false prophets, religious. And the fact that it has two horns like a lamb, I think that signifies that, you know, it's going to specifically identify itself with Christianity, with the Lamb of God. In other words, this beast comes in the name of Christianity. It comes on the scene promoting a false Christianity. It also speaks like a dragon, you know, John said. That doesn't mean it's going to walk around with fire out of his mouth. It means he's a smooth talker. This spirit and the men who are under the influence of the spirit are smooth talkers. They're going to have the ability to deceive people, most people, by what they say without their ever realizing it. And it's going to have supernatural power, so it's going to be able to deceive people by also by what it does. Not just by what it says, not just by its deceptive words, but what it does. And the other significant thing about that beast is that John said it can make fire fall from heaven. And this is one of the miracles that it causes the world to worship the first beast, right? Of course, now I've heard various interpretations of what that fire represents, and I don't know, I'm not going to tell you what I know for sure it represents, okay? It could have various different levels of meaning. I don't claim to know the one, but I believe one of the meanings of that fire coming down from heaven is what we've been witnessing for the last 25 years or so. You all know what word is used by all these false prophets and false apostles to trigger the various manifestations we've seen in things like Vineyard and Toronto and Lakeland and the other spinoffs. You know what the word they use? Fire. Fire. That's right. The great revival buzzword has been fire for many years. Whenever one of these false prophets or apostles wants to bring forth a spiritual manifestation in one of their meetings, what they do is they stand up on a stage and they call on God to send the fire. send the fire. Or they simply repeat the word, fire, 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 over and over again, until something happens. And I believe this is a perfect picture of what John describes there. Demon spirits in these are literally calling down fire from heaven in the sight of the people. They're calling down powerful supernatural manifestations in front of the people, and the people are drinking up like water. This is why I keep warning people that in their present spiritual form, in their present spiritual form, these two beasts are much more dangerous than any government, than any religious institution, or any individual human political leader will ever be, you see, because they can counterfeit the things the Spirit of God does in a person's life. A religious organization can't do that. The UN can't do that. You know, even some man can't do that. I'm talking about a spirit that gets into a person's life and counterfeits everything the Holy Spirit does. These spirits can give us counterfeit gifts. They can give us counterfeit spiritual languages, tongues. Okay? They give supernatural power that is counterfeit. False prophecy. False revelation knowledge. Spiritual discernment. Do you not have any idea how much spiritual discernment is going on that's coming from demons? I've seen over and over again when people we've dealt with that had spiritual discernment that was not coming from God. It was true spiritual discernment, and it was coming from religious demon spirits. It's incredible. When you run into this stuff on a personal level and you bump into it in experience, it becomes a little more real than just hearing somebody talk about it. So unless you've really bumped into it, you probably think I'm on the edge here and think, I just can't believe this guy's saying this. I really don't think this is possible. But I guarantee you it is. We bump into it over and over again. The list goes on and on and on. Even more than that, I've seen people who have become involved with these beasts, these spiritual powers, and they receive gifts that aren't even mentioned in Scripture, like an extraordinarily beautiful singing voice, something they never had before. Or suddenly they get the ability to write beautiful poems. Just different things that they never had before, all of a sudden they have. Instantly, and you just know it's supernatural. And they come from another spirit. I've personally seen these beasts produce counterfeit fruits. And I know people don't think it's possible to produce a fruit of the Spirit. It's not. It's not possible to produce a true fruit of the Spirit. But it's possible to produce something that looks exactly like a true fruit of the Spirit in somebody's life. One occasion, one brother, he had a real problem with impatience. He had a kind of a temper. He was impatient his whole life. He got involved with that spirit. Somehow he realized he got involved. He was asking for my help. And what happened was that spirit took away his impatience and gave him a huge dose of patience. It changed his personality, completely changed his personality. He was a different man. But in the end, it was not the Spirit of God that made him a different man. It was a counterfeit spirit that made him a different man. False joy, false love, a false sense of security. I'm not talking about eternal security, the doctrine. I'm talking about feeling secure. As a newborn baby, the weight of sin rolls off your back, and you just know that God's accepted you and his family. You have such a love for Jesus. There's just a sense of security that you know you belong to God. There's a counterfeit for that, people. This isn't just doctrine. This isn't just words. This isn't just books that we're talking about out here. We're talking about a real personality that can come and duplicate the Holy Spirit in people's lives. The false peace, the false patience, false joy, false love. We've entered a time like no other time in the history of this planet. But most of God's people are still playing church games, and that includes the people who come out of the system, most of them. They're blindly strolling down paths filled with spiritual landmines, demonic spiritual landmines, religious spiritual landmines, and they don't have any idea the danger they're in. And the issues of these two beasts are not issues of the flesh, my friends. What we're facing is not a battle of the flesh when it comes to this kind of thing. It's not flesh that's taking down scores of believers who once had a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Not flesh is doing that. It's religious seducing spirits is doing that. It's religious spirits who can perfectly imitate the voice of God and the presence of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And if we don't learn how to tell the difference between these spirits and the Lord, the true Spirit of the Lord, we are going to be in trouble. This is the reason so many genuine Christians are being overcome right now. And I know there's thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people getting saved now. They're not really getting saved. They're hearing a false gospel, and they're coming to a false salvation. They're going right into Antichrist. They're going right into the false thing. But I'm not talking about those people. See, I'm not involved with churches. I'm involved with people outside the system. I've been involved with people outside the system my whole entire life. And when I talk about people getting overtaken by Antichrist, I'm talking about people who are outside the system, who have had deep, deep revelation of God. You know, they make most people in the church system look like babies. I'm talking about those kinds of people who have been solid in God, have been solid in Christ, are getting taken over by this kind of stuff because they're not fighting that front. Somehow they got in their minds that the real enemy is the flesh, and that's all they got to worry about. They just put the flesh to death, walk in the spirit. They don't have to fight this whole other front, and they're getting taken down. They don't realize it. They're not getting taken down by demons of drugs or demons of murder or demons of smoking or gambling. They're getting taken down by religious demons. Religious. These spiritual powers are religious. Hello? When they come to us, they don't tempt us to drink or smoke or gamble or go back into our lifestyle, take dope or commit adultery. These spirits like to talk about God. They like to do religious things. They like to learn about religion. They like to be up on the latest thing that's going on in the churches, the latest religious thing. What's the latest religious fad? The latest religious revelation. What's knowledge, spiritual knowledge? They drink out spiritual knowledge like a camel drinks up water. They'll give us a desire to go to church. They'll give us a desire to sing. They can have the ability to give us a desire to pray. And they can prophesy through us. It's incredible what these spirits are able to do to God's people. I see them give people a desire to read the Bible that did not come from Jesus Christ. See, as long as the things we're doing, the religious things we're doing, is leading us into a relationship with another Jesus or another spirit, there's nothing those religious spirits won't have us do that looks like Christianity. They're not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of you. They're not afraid of me. They're not afraid of the Bible. They're not afraid of singing Christian songs. They're not afraid of it. They're so haughty because they've been given this kind of power. Now, Daniel said something. I'm not going to read all of them. There's various scriptures in Daniel 8 and 9 and 11. But I just want to read one scripture about the spirit of Antichrist who is in this little horn. In Daniel 8, this little horn is a person. It's a king of the East. It's an actual person. But inside that person, the thing that's motivating that person, that's empowering that person, is a demonic prince. And Daniel described the character, the personality, the brazenness of this demonic prince that's inside this little horn. He says in Daniel chapter 8, verse 11 and verse 25, I put them together here. He says, yea, he, that's this prince, magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that's Jesus, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And that's going on right now. The daily sacrifice has been taken away for many years because it's a false gospel. When you mess with the gospel, you mess with the virgin birth, the physical resurrection, you mess with any of the fundamentals of the Christian faith, you take away the daily sacrifice. When you present a gospel that people don't have to die to self, they don't have to put their flesh on the cross. They can have life without death. That's a false gospel. That takes away the sacrifice. The Antichrist has been taking away the daily sacrifice for many years. But anyway, he takes away the daily sacrifice and says the place of his sanctuary, that's us, was cast down. And through his policy, also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Okay? The spirit that's in this little horn, this demonic prince, is so arrogant, he's going to stand up against Jesus himself and think to win. He's so arrogant, he's going to stand up and think to beat Jesus himself. That's kind of deception and blindness and arrogance these spirits move in. And especially, you got to understand that God is giving these princes this power during the age. He's giving them this power. Okay, this is an additional shot they never had before. Something new. And hey, they're misinterpreting what God's doing. Okay, so it's making their arrogance even more arrogant. And, their ego even more uncontrollable. The self-deception they walk in and live in and move in gets even worse. To the point that you actually rise up against the prince himself. So here Daniel's describing that brazen character of the spiritual entity that's in this little horn, and it's also in these beasts in Revelation. They're primarily demonic princes. They're going to be manifested in different ways, but they're primarily demonic princes. They exalt themselves and magnify themselves above every god, even to the prince of princes, Jesus Christ. They speak impudent things against Jesus. Who do you think is behind things like all these artists who receive government funds, and they do blasphemous artwork? Remember the picture of Jesus in a urine, a jar of urine. And there's a picture of Mary with cow dung all over. And I could go on and list artists, just blasphemy. They paint and create blasphemous art all the time. And we're paying for it, by the way. You and me are paying for it every time we get our paycheck. Who do you think is doing that? That's not a person. That's a demon. That's a blasphemous spirit of Antichrist in that person, giving him thoughts, giving desires, given the ability and the talent to put that thing out in the market. When somebody takes your baby and chops them up in pieces, or some guy takes his wife or his girlfriend, chops her up, puts her in the freezer, who do you think that is doing that? That's not the flesh. That's demonic. So much of what's going on is demonic. This is what these things are doing. It says this thing, He speaks impudent things against Jesus, blasphemes Jesus all the time, blasphemes the church, the homosexual movement, the radical homosexual movement, it got the spirit in it. Constantly blaspheming the church and Jesus and God. They're also going to take away the daily sacrifice, which I mentioned, cast down the sanctuary, which I mentioned. Also says he's going to sit, not in this passage, but there's another one that says he's going to sit in the sanctuary. And that reminds us of what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they're coming falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You all know that verse. You heard me go over that verse again and again and again ad nauseum. I'm not going to go to it again, but I just want to tell you this. When you read that passage, you find out how that thing gets in the temple of God. We're the temple of God. There is no other temple. We're the temple of God in the New Testament. And you find out how that thing gets in the temple of God, the Christian believer, is through miraculous signs. It's through supernatural power. And I want to tell you, the flesh has no supernatural power. The flesh is capable of doing a lot of things. The flesh is very strong, and the flesh needs to be put to death. But that flesh has no supernatural power. And this spirit gets in God's people through supernatural power. It gets in by giving us revelations or showing us things through Scripture, and then supernaturally confirming it through some kind of dream. Or he'll have somebody call you and supernaturally give somebody something to tell you that will confirm something that he put in your mind or that he showed you through Scripture. It's a supernatural work going on. This spirit gets in our lives supernaturally. They do the things that the Holy Spirit does. If you're not used to having dreams and visions, this Spirit's not going to come and start giving you dreams and visions. All right? It's going to work the way you're used to the Holy Spirit working. If your whole thing is reading the Bible and getting revelation through the Word, then he's going to start giving you revelation, false revelation through the Word. That's how he's going to start moving. And if you don't check that thing, understand the Spirit, have the Spirit of God, enough of the Spirit of God in us, and realize we're in a war against this kind of thing, and check it, pretty soon those spirits will make the temple desolate. That's what Daniel's talking about. Daniel's not talking about a Jew or an Arab or somebody sitting in a little temple over in Jerusalem. He's talking about a demon spirit, a religious demon spirit playing God, taking the control, complete control of a person's life to the extent that he drives the Spirit of God right out of that person's soul. Slays the spirit man, and the temple is left desolate. A person who was once saved is now lost again. That's what Daniel's talking about. We talk about the abomination of desolation. It's not a political, prophetical thing that everybody's looking for in Jerusalem. It's a spiritual thing that's going on behind the scenes, underneath everything. All right, and people are missing all this stuff because they're stuck on the outward thing and they're looking at the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. And there's nothing wrong with preaching death to self. It's a necessary truth. It's something we ought to keep our eye on. It's just when you preach death to self and we talk about the flesh to the exclusion of this, you're setting people up for defeat. It's just that simple. You're setting God's people up for defeat. For every sermon a person gives on the flesh, they should turn right around and give a sermon on how to recognize and defeat demon spirits. That's how important they both are. So, these beasts are demon spirits, beasts in Revelation 13. They're demon spirits primarily, and they're here now. And while these spirits are using famous men and national leaders and religious leaders to build Satan's global empire, his final empire, they also can take a break and come and talk to you and me personally. They're not just stuck out there in that plane, that whole religious plane or the political plane. They can come and start imitating the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if our focus is on the flesh, putting the flesh to death, denying the flesh, if our answer for every problem, for every temptation is just more death to self, then when these princes begin to move in our lives, we're not going to realize it. We're not going to realize it. We're not going to detect it. And eventually it can destroy us. They start polluting the temple. They start polluting the sanctuary. And if they're not checked, if they're not stopped, they drive the Spirit of God completely out of lives and they make the temple desolate. It's a very serious thing we're facing, my friends. Very serious. And so few people understand the depth of what we're involved in right here. Now, let me just finish this quick here by just saying, denying ourselves and putting our flesh to death is very important. I am not trying to downplay that. That's one whole front of our battle. We must do that. But like I said, that's only half the battle. And we've entered a day when Satan has been given more power and authority by God than most of us can even imagine. It's not real until you come up against it, until you face it, until you're in a battle with the thing that's trying to take you down, and you win. And then it's real. Then the seriousness, the soberness of the hour we're in becomes very real. You know, you don't have to walk around trying to make it real. It is real. From then on, it's real. Okay? Anyway, we've entered into that kind of time when a cup of iniquity has come to the fullness, when the power of the enemy is given free sway. Neither one of us is going to make us immune to that power. As a matter of fact, it's only as we walk in the Spirit and deny our flesh, that we receive the necessary wisdom and strength to face that power, to face these kind of things, and overcome them. That's the whole point of walking in the Spirit. That's the whole point of dying to self, putting the flesh under. So we have the power, the discernment to see what's going on, and have the power to overcome them. That's what walking in the Spirit does. It empowers us to face and overcome the enemy. It doesn't give us a free ticket to not even face the enemy anymore. That's what's being preached. And it's so wrong, and it's going to destroy so many people in the end. So my burden is, you know, just encourage people to be sure that we don't let Satan use a truth of God, a necessary, fundamental truth of God, which is denying the flesh life, taking up our cross. Not let him use that truth to overcome us, to deceive us and overcome us. Do you understand? Yeah, that's the kind of burden that was on my heart. I'm not trying to bash anybody, okay? I'm just trying to help God's people see the seriousness of the hour we're in. People do not understand the power Satan has been granted in the realm of deception to imitate, to duplicate, to replicate the things of God. They don't understand it. So anyway, Sissy, why don't you go ahead now? You guys still got your hand up. Go ahead.
Boy, it was excellent teaching tonight, Brother Dan. I appreciate everything you said. You know, I need to say this. About a few months ago, our son was attending a church where he was really learning. He was really learning a lot, you know, about how to study the Bible. I mean, he was growing. He really was, you know. And my son at some point decided he was going to confront this pastor because of something that he saw that was unfortunately not scriptural. And so he talked to him first on his own, and he thought that the matter was settled. And then later on he took someone with him, you know, because the matter wasn't settled. And the whole thing turned on its head. I mean, it was like all of a sudden this man became somebody else. It was someone totally, totally different. He had become a very good friend of my son's. I mean, he's older than my son, but they became very, very close. You know, my son is disabled, and so he was very kind to my son. But my point is, and I told my son this. I says, are we talking about the same man that has been your pastor for the last month or so, for the last 2 years, I should say. And he says, yeah, this is the same person. And we could not believe it. I mean, this man actually threatened my son at one point, where my son went to the authorities to let them know that this man had threatened his life. I was in prayer, but, you know, the Lord gave me tremendous peace. And I said, Lord, you know the circumstances. My son didn't say anything that wasn't correct, and he just confronted this man on this at a level that he was able to do, you know, as the Lord gave him the, you know, what he told me was, Mom, I'd like to see the Word of God just work itself out in this situation. And it was unbelievable. And I thought, man, you know, I says, you know, what you really were facing was a demonic thing. And he says, you know, that's what I told my wife. I says, well, that's exactly what you did. You know, what happened in this situation is the Lord exposed this situation for what it really was, a lot of deception. And I am just amazed how much deception is out there today. It's amazing to me. And it grieves my spirit because so many people, for example, still follow some of these people on TBN, that sort of thing. But that's just a minor thing. I mean, what you were referring to tonight, Dan, really, really is a tremendous thing that we have to really keep our eyes open and truly be vigilant as the Lord has told us in His Word. So I thank you again, and God bless you all. Thank you, and I just give back the mic.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Sissy. I appreciate it. It is. It's a scary time we're living in. God's more powerful. God is more powerful. I don't say these kind of things to scare people and say the devil's more powerful, and you know, but you gotta give respect to your enemy, the respect he's due. All right. People walk around with cocky and overconfident, and man, this ain't no time to be walking that kind of attitude. It's not the time to do that. It's time to walk softly before the Lord, humbly before the Lord. Know our frailties. Know we're weak. Know what we're dealing with here. Stay hidden in Christ. Stay under the wing of the Lord. Okay, hey, Rebecca, how you doing? Rebecca wants to speak to us. Go ahead, Rebecca, you got the mic.
Hey, Dan, can you hear me? I guess I'm coming through. A lot of stuff that you had said tonight is just so important. We just don't understand the spiritual battle, you know, that we're in. The love of the truth is what the Word says. I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians 2. It says that because we received not the love of the truth, that we were deceived. And Jesus is the truth. We can't lean on our own understanding. I think one of the biggest drawbacks in what we're seeing is people are teaching so much truth out there. They'll mix it. The deception comes through, as you said, through truth, even through reading some of the scriptures and having that twisted around in our minds, because we're not depending on our own. We can't, and that to me is flesh, is when we depend on our own understanding and our own intellect, and we figured this out. It sounds good to our minds and our thinking, and we get, you know, and rather than stopping and say, wait, Lord, I will not judge this thing in my own, on my own way. Lord, it's only you that can show. You are the truth, not what I figure out and what I think, but Lord, you are the truth. And learn to just, he said, my sheep will know my voice, and we just have to live by faith that we truly lay that down, not only our own wants and the fleshly desires of this life and this world, but even our own ways of thinking and all ways of figuring out things. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways. So we're not going to figure this stuff out with our own thinking. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we have to believe and have faith that he said that he would lead us and he would guide us. He would not forsake us. He said in Jude 1:23, and 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In other words, the Lord's able. If we trust him and we believe him and we don't lean on into our own understanding and our own ways, and realize, I guess, that one of the biggest things, we just have to know that there is an enemy out there that can deceive us like this and not just take everything. But we do have to die to our own ways of thinking. And to me, that is just as important as to die into your flesh. And that's but without understanding. And that's part of the truth, too, is they love not the truth. And the part of the truth is, yes, we do have an enemy. And we've got to understand that, too.
Good. Glad you shared, Rebecca. Thank you. Go ahead, Tina. You got the mic, sister.
Well, I just wanted to thank you, Dan, for the room. This is my third time here, and I've really been blessed by the teachings and agree with everything so far that I've heard. And it's quite refreshing because I, too, have a burden for the body of Christ to be lovers of truth and to be aware of the deception that's out there. So I'm very grateful that you're a voice that is standing strong against the deception. And I, for one, was really astounded by how so many Christians were deceived by Todd Bentley. And, you know, I tried to follow what was going on. I tuned in a few times, but then it just seemed like the spirits that were behind that were getting stronger and stronger, where I just felt like I couldn't even tune in, but I wanted to hear what he was saying and try and get to the root of it. And what you were talking about, where he was saying fire, 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 I was just so surprised at how many Christians really don't know the Word of God for themselves and just will believe what any of these well-known evangelists or preachers will say or do. And what, you know, fire, there's many types of fire in the Bible, and one of them is strange fire. And I think that is exactly what was going forth in those meetings. And what he was about mostly was impartation. It was all about laying on hands. Lay your hands on the TV. Lay your hands on the computer screen. We're going to impart this thing. And I'm like, whoa, why can't the people see what this guy is trying to do? And don't they know that the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly? And if they don't know that, then they're just going to buy into this, everything that this guy says. And I just prayed that the truth would be known, and finally he was shown to be in sin.
and removed himself from his own ministry board. But the level of deception that you're talking about tonight is very large scale. And I'm just praying for the body of Christ to be lovers of truth and for God to open their eyes. And when he does, that they would take a stand against it and stand for him alone, regardless of what it costs them, and it will cost everything. So thank you for the time, and God bless you and your ministry.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Tina. Appreciate it. I appreciate everybody shares. Anybody else? You're all talking about people not understanding the word or anything. You got to understand where I'm coming from. It's hard to explain. All the people I've known in my whole Christian life practically have been people who have been what we call deeper Christians, deeper life Christians. They've been out of the system. They've been out for 40 years, 50 years. I mean, different groups, not just one or two, different groups. These people aren't biblically illiterate. They know the Bible like the back of their hand. They're Pentecostal people coming forth in Pentecost. They're going into tabernacles. They have so much truth. And yet, over the years, I've watched them go down one by one. I'm talking about religious leaders now, as well as people. I've watched people, ministers I've known personally and know of very well, get deceived and picked off one by one. These aren't people in the system. These are people you've never even heard of, but they're religious leaders. They're shepherds over a flock, whole entire flock, sometimes whole movements. What you see in the church going on is going on to biblically illiterate people. Biblically illiterate people. After years and years and years of fluff and sugar-coated candy, they don't know the Bible. After preaching from the Reader's Digest, you know, in the almanac, they don't know the Bible at all. But I'm talking about people who have lived the Word, lived, ate, breathed the Word for 30, 35 years. These kind of people are also getting deceived. One of the guys I know personally who was involved with Todd Bentley had been walking in many, many years in the Third Feast Truths. I know him personally. He came to Alaska and fellowshipped in our home a couple of times. What was that one? Melchizedek, the Order of Melchizedek. He had his own mailing list, and he ordered 75 of my book, The Order of Melchizedek, to send out to people's ministers as gifts because he was so impressed with it. He was a little bit older than me. But this guy had been walking in Third Feast Truth, Tabernacle Truth. That guy got involved with Todd Bentley. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. How does somebody like that go from a minister in a Third Feast Truth to involvement with somebody like Todd Bentley, for crying out loud? The guy looks like he came right out of the cult. Forget what he talks about, how he acts. Just look at a guy. He looks like a freak. So it's very scary. I mean, you guys are familiar with people inside the system. I'm familiar with people outside the system that's happened to. People who are not illiterate. People who walked in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who walked in deep revelation with God for many, many years. These kind of people are getting deceived as well. That's what scares me. I'm just trying to say, you know, we're up against some powerful, powerful forces right now. And they're not more powerful than God, but they're more powerful than us by a long shot, believe me. We got to stay hidden in Christ and on the wall 24 hours a day, or they're going to get us, just like they got all these other people. Amen? So anyway, anybody else have anything you'd like to share? She Has Ears says, I was established church for 50 years, just came out 6 months ago. Wow. Well, praise the Lord, She Who Has Ears. Welcome to the brethren outside the camp. Mother says, I just spoke with two wonderful, precious people of God who love the Lord and have been saved for over 50 years and couldn't believe that I said Benny Hinn is a false prophet. It's real bad out there. Amen. It is bad. She Has Ears says she saw the demon look in my old pastor's eyes. Yeah, that's a shame. You can see it sometimes. You can look in her eyes and see demons in her eyes. Once you start getting the hang of this thing, you start getting some discernment, you can see demons in people's eyes. Well, thanks for sharing, y'all. Really appreciate it. Anybody else want to take a crack at it? Hugh says, you have to know who your enemy is to fight him. Amen, Hugh. Exactly right. Karen says, how about those who look right through you? Yeah, I've seen those kind of eyes before. You know what I say to those kind of people? I say, who's in there looking out at me? chilling. Harold or Judy, I don't know which one it is, says, makes the verse more real to us. It says, he who endures to the end, amen, will be saved. That's right, exactly. So I'm encouraging everybody just to be sober, be vigilant, like old Brother Peter said, right? And it can't be told that enough, all right? Because the stream's going the other way very fast. You got to swim upstream constantly. Uphill, upstream, constantly. Every day. Every minute, every day. Marlo says, thanks. Dan, let's pray that none of us will be deceived. I say, amen. I do. I continue on that narrow road. Amen. I pray for everybody I know is walking this way to keep on going. Well, last call. Anybody have anything? Oh, you're welcome, Texas. All right, Tina, God bless you. Thanks for coming. Sonny says, most Christians don't realize they are at war. Exactly true. Exactly true. That's the problem. All righty, well, brothers and sisters, I'm glad you came. Thanks for coming, and thanks for sharing. I really appreciate it. Marlo says, God brought us together for a reason. We need to encourage one another. Amen. Amen, Marlo. Well, then, we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.